A.M. Bethany. Hi, Uncle John. Pastor is not here today. Pastor is down under, okay, in Perth, enjoying the cold. Please pray for him. Auntie Sally said he did not pack for cold weather. Yeah, so it's 8 degrees at night. So in his hotel, he turned on the heater at night. He slept with the heater on, you know. So, but he's got, thankfully, he's got a jacket over there because the hotel stained it. So they got it clean, sent it to Pastor Chris. So he has some sort of protection over there. So thank God for that. Yeah, right now it's Southern Hemisphere, so it's Tumbalik. Yeah, so 8 degrees, 17 degrees during the day. Pastor likes the cold, but sometimes can be too cold. This afternoon, you have in front of you the three of us. And once again, we will be reflecting on Psalm 23. There are so many wonderful things about Psalm 23. And this afternoon, we are going to be focusing on how David saw God as shepherd. So, Eugene, Moses, and myself, that's what we're going to be focusing on. How God is shepherd to us, and how we are seeking to apply God as shepherd to our own lives. And we hope that by doing so, we can bring an encouragement to your hearts, but also recap what Pastor taught from Psalm 23 many, many weeks ago. All right. Oh, welcome back, Adeline. I'm going to be sharing about her. Good to see her. Good to see her. Welcome. Let's open this time with a word of prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we just want to look to you and to fill our hearts and minds with how wonderful you are. You are our God. You are the Lord. You are our shepherd, a loving shepherd. Father, we want to specially pray and remember Pastor Charlie, who is in Perth. We ask for your grace and mercy to be upon him as he ministers to our brethren. This afternoon, as we meet as an AM Bethany, may your word reach and touch hearts. We pray for a wonderful time of fellowship later on as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, this afternoon, what I would like to do is to share with you how God is our personal shepherd. That is something that we teach the children. That is something that we come to appreciate as young adults. And as we grow older, it is a good time to recall and to remind ourselves that God is indeed our shepherd. You know, the first thing that I would like to share about this, about how God is a personal shepherd, is that it can be a very strong affirmation when we encounter the blessings of God. So when I got married, how many years ago? About 1.5 years ago. Very long. It doesn't feel long. It doesn't feel long. Yeah. You know, I really appreciate how God was shepherd, leading me each step of the way. You know, and that's something that we can all thank God for. In good times, we affirm that God is our shepherd. But what about if we are facing challenging situations? Such a truth that God is our personal shepherd. You know, we can remind ourselves of this when we go through hardships in life. You know, we can go through health-related problems. You know, and Adeline. Adeline is with us today, and my heart was lifted up the moment I saw her walk in. Recently, Adeline has gone for a neck surgery. You know, this was a similar procedure to Pastor's. So if it's similar to Pastor, it means it's challenging. It means it's very, very serious, you know. And, you know, I found out through Moses, you know, Moses mentioned it, that, you know, you were going to have an operation. And knowing how serious it was, you know, the heart was moved to pray. You know, and I'm so glad that God looked after Adeline, you know, through it all. Now, knowing that she was recovering at home from her boys and her husband, you know, I've been snooping around, I decided to get in touch with her, you know, and I asked her, how has faith helped during your ordeal and your recovery? And one of the texts that she shared with me, you know, I thought that by getting in touch, I would like to encourage her. But actually, she encouraged me. She shared that Psalm 23 was always on her mind, about how God was shepherd, looking after her. And because of that confidence, she was unafraid of the surgery. And, you know, she looked forward to recovery. And to see her back here at AM Bethany, all that is special. Because it reinforces this, that God can be our personal shepherd when we go through health-related problems, you know, health issues. And that is special. You know, something else that we can remind ourselves that God is our personal shepherd is when we go through situations that seem impossible. You know, it could be with regards to the family. You know, so I think of Uncle John, Uncle John's grandson. You know, there was a point in time where, you know, Jeffrey and Amelia were stuck in a conundrum. What can they do? And sometimes in these moments, when we face the impossible, or what seems to be the impossible, we turn to God as shepherd. You know, when I was in Australia, I read a book. I shared with the YMG just now about how I'm a very slow reader. I read about 2 pages a day. But when I was in Australia, I had a bit more time. I could read 3 pages a day. No, but I read a story about Gladys Aylward. Gladys Aylward was a missionary to China. And she was known as the little lady with a very big God. That was how the Chinese knew her and her faith. One day, in her second year in Yangcheng, the Mandarin sent a delegation to her. And they said, "We would like you to come to the prison." She said, "Huh? Why do you want me to go to the prison?" And the Mandarin's messenger told her, "There is a riot." So she looked at them and she said, "If there's a riot, why can't you settle it yourself?" You know, and they said, "We cannot. All the Mandarin soldiers are scared of the prisoners." And little Gladys Aylward said, "Then what about me?" And he said, "But you have a great God. You have taught us that if you believe in God, anything is possible." So Gladys Aylward followed them. And she went to the prison. She heard the shouting. She heard the screams. And as she neared the entrance, she could smell the blood. She could see the blood. You know, and she was scared. She looked at the situation and felt, "Oh, my goodness, who's going to help me?" You know, she was by herself. In that moment, she remembered that she has a great big God. And she chose to trust that God would specially protect. She opened the gates. She went in. And this huge man with a chopper ran at her. And she said, "Stop! Quiet down, all of you." Everybody, silence. He said, "Put down your weapon." Oh, he put the weapon down. He said, tell me what's wrong. And she reasoned with them. So they told her, we feel like nobody cares for us. You cram all of us into this small cell. You don't feed us enough. That's why we're all so angry all the time. You know, she told this to the Mandarin, and the Mandarin said, I will make the changes. You know Gladys Aylward's story about how you may be a very little person, but if you face an insurmountable situation, or what seems to be that, we have a great big God. And you know, the faith of Gladys Aylward reminds me of this, that no matter what we go through, we can have a personal shepherd in our Lord God. You know, I thought I would also share about how, personally, how I've come to see the Lord God as my own shepherd. You know, when Bethany celebrates her 45th anniversary in August, that marks my first year as a student pastor. And in this 1 year, I've come to learn that I actually don't know a lot. I have many weaknesses, and pastor will share these things with us unashamedly. They say, this is something you need to work on. Very matter of fact, you know, this is a weakness that you have. And, you know, it will not bode well for you if you don't change your ways. And, you know, sometimes it's a struggle. You know, I struggle because sometimes I think I am doing the right thing, but actually in the Lord's eyes, I am not. And I feel like a sheep. Sometimes we think of God as shepherd, but sometimes I think of myself as that little lamb. That sheep that is clueless, going astray more than half the time, in need of help, in need of guidance. And in this 1 year, I've never felt more like a sheep than the rest of my life. And, you know, it's when I see myself as this little lamb, a lost little lamb, that the knowledge and the understanding that God is my shepherd looms even larger. And it brings my heart tremendous encouragement. And it brings an uplift when I do feel discouraged at times. You know, I would like to share with you that our God is not a distant God. He is our shepherd. This is what David came to realize when he wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, can we look to God and ask Him to be our very own shepherd? You know, this is as though we are inviting Him. We would like God to be not just an almighty God, but a very loving, close, and personal shepherd. Can we also learn to turn to Him and trust Him as sheep would to its shepherd? You know, so these are, I'm just sharing some of the lessons that I've been learning as I reviewed Psalm 23, as I look back on this 1 year that I've been in training. I'm just so thankful that God can be a shepherd to someone in the role of a student. God has been a shepherd to families. God has been a shepherd to individuals who have gone through health challenges. And this is something that we can all take away, that our God, our Lord, is our very own personal shepherd. Well, it's my joy to hand this time to Moses.
You know, one other thing that we learned and took away from the study of Psalm 23, firstly, was the idea of how God is one who is personal to us. He's a shepherd, and He can be a shepherd to us personally, each and every one of us. Now, the other thought that really stood out as we read through Psalm 23, it's the idea of appreciation. Appreciation of God as shepherd. Yes, He is one that is personal, but can we also speak of an appreciation of the Lord as shepherd in our lives? And you know, appreciation is an interesting thing. We all can speak of some appreciation of the Lord as shepherd. Some knowledge, some understanding, and an existing, for many of us, already an existing appreciation of the Lord. But as we read through Psalm 23 and as we concluded our study of Psalm 23, the question is not whether we have an appreciation, but whether we have gone deeper in our appreciation of the Lord as shepherd. And it's a good question to ask. I mean, have we gone deeper? I mean, we have studied, we have read Psalm 23, Pastor has shared from it, but have we actually gone deeper in our appreciation for the Lord as shepherd? And this is important. And for us to consider, to check first ourselves and to find a deeper sense of appreciation. And this was how do we actually find that sense of appreciation for the Lord as shepherd? It is being able to go back, to reflect, to consider, and to think about what God does as a shepherd. And we see the example of David. David recounted how the Lord was shepherd in his life. And you know, firstly, the Lord was one who would lead David like sheep towards to lie down when David needed rest, to lie down towards still waters. That gentleness and that kindness as a shepherd was something that David experienced. How else was the Lord shepherd to David? And his presence was with David. He was with David, be it to lead him through paths of righteousness, be it to lead David through the valley of the shadow of death. And as David recounted how the Lord was shepherd in his own life, that sense of appreciation came forth. In the words he penned in Psalm 23. And so how do we find that deeper appreciation? It is really through recounting. Recounting how the Lord is shepherd in our lives, how the Lord has been a shepherd to us in the lives of the people whom we care for, whom we love as well. I mean, we heard of Adeline, today we're just going to share another example of where I really appreciated how God can be shepherd to us all and how He leads, how He's there with us. You know, recently my mother-in-law fell down and injured her wrist. And so there was a bit of a fracture in the wrist, and she was going to go on a holiday. She fractured and she was already going to go. So she asked us, should we continue to go or don't go? And you know, the children, and say, go, right? Why don't go? Your holiday book ready. And just check with the doctor. If doctor say okay, then go. And the doctor said okay, but she was still scared. And you know, we encouraged her to go, and she went. In the end, she went to Norway with some friends, and we were thankful for people who looked out for her. But when she came back, it actually worsened. The something moved. She told us something moved. I also don't understand what moved, but she told us something moved and it worsened and she's in pain and she went to see the doctor and she had to go for a surgery. And you know, one thing about my mom-in-law is she gets scared easily. She gets scared easily. And before the operation, she was actually very scared. So scared until her hand was injured, but she said her legs felt weak. And her legs felt weak. And said, but you injured your hand, right? But the legs felt weak and she was afraid of going out. And you know, then she kept texting Ganen, come over, spend time with me. And we did that. But she was fearful and she was scared. And she was going to go for an operation, which she had not been for an operation before in her life, and not young anymore. And scared, and the problem of fear. And you know, as we were there with her the night before the operation, trying to encourage her and trying to see how we could help alleviate some of that fear. But I also recognize that it is not us who can alleviate fears and problems like that. We are but sheep. She too is a sheep, and it is in pointing her toward the shepherd that would truly help. And this was something that we sought to do. I mean, we shared a Bible verse with her, prayed with her, and just reminded her that God is with you. And you know what words would I be able to say? I didn't fall down. It wasn't me that fell down. I wasn't the one that was afraid. I mean, what words would I say to a person who is in pain, who is in fear, so much younger, saying to mom-in-law? And it was just pointing her to the Lord, pointing her to the shepherd, our shepherd. And you know that she went through the operation. We prayed for her, brought an uplift to her heart. She went through the operation, and it was successful. It was successful, and she went back. Friends came from her church, bought her the Ha Cheong Gai burger, is it? McDonald's. Whoa, and you know, encouragement to her heart, and doctor gave her 35 days MC for fracture operation, and literally make her lie down. You know? And you know, I'm just reminded of how God is shepherd. And you know, He is there with us through life's up and down. And you know, as I look back at this incident, as I recounted, as I related it to Psalm 23, this what God does as shepherd is not something that any one of us can do. He is the only one, because of who He is, shepherd to us all. And as we look at a God who leads us through life's journeys, through life's good times, through life's bad times, as we look at and consider and recount of a God who is there with us, who is there all the time with the people whom we love, who is there with the people whom we care for in ways in which we cannot, we must find that deeper sense of appreciation. And, you know, God also sends people in our lives to remind us of who He is, shepherd to us all. As we see successful operation, I mean, we all rejoice together. We are also reminded of how God is shepherd. And, you know, may this sense of appreciation be something that we find, this sense of appreciation be something that we can speak about. We can share and encourage one another. And later at the tea, you know, one thing that we want to talk about is an appreciation of God, how God has been there. As we fellowship together, enjoy tea together, we want to also speak of the Lord. That Lord, God is good to us. God has been good to our families. And I know we just, together as an adult ministry, find a deeper sense of appreciation of a wonderful shepherd that we have. Right, so with that, hand the time to another brother, Eugene.
Okay. Well, thank you, Moses. Thank you, John, for sharing. And so now we come to the final part of the session. And you know, we spoke about how God can be such a personal God to us as shepherd. You know, how God can be that personal and can be a wonderful shepherd. How we can appreciate God who leads us in all the different ways that He does in Psalm 23. And the challenge for us really as we come here, as we think about how God is a wonderful shepherd for us, what is our part to play? And the part for us to play is really, how do we respond to God? How do we respond to a God who is such a wonderful and amazing and lovely shepherd for all of us? And response is so necessary in a relationship. If we don't respond, it will just be a one-way track, just be God to us. And you know, it doesn't work, a relationship doesn't work out that way. When a wife keeps talking to the husband doesn't reply to the wife, it always leads to a disaster. But you know, response is what we need to give. When God relates to us as shepherd, we need to respond. And for us, you know, as we look at Psalm 23, we see how David responded to God. Now, how did David respond to God? And this afternoon, I have two words that stand out as I look at Psalm 23. And the first word that really stands out is how David was committed to God. How do we see David's commitment here? And we see it in two verses. The first verse, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And here we see a first part of what David was committed to do. And David was committed to be contented with whatever that he had in his life. You know, a sense of commitment that, you know what, whatever that comes, whatever that I have or don't have, I'm learning to say that I shall not want, simply because you are my shepherd. And the second way that David was committed was in verse 4, when David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And that was the second part of the commitment David made to God. He was committed to not being afraid whenever he went through whatever dangers or uncertainties that stood before him in life. He was just committed. He was not going to fear. He's not going to be afraid of anything. And this is a wonderful way of how we can respond to God, by making that commitment to God to say that, you know what, I can learn to be contented. Now I can learn to be unafraid, no matter whatever that may come in life. And personally, as I look at these two things, the one part of this commitment that really stands out for me is the first verse. You know, the whole idea of being contented. And contentment was something that I had to learn. Because when I was younger, in my younger days as a university grad, before I came to know the Lord, I was someone who was really looking out for the many things that the world can give. I worked as a real estate agent when I was in university. And back then, I was dealing with the high-end districts in Singapore. So I was helping clients to buy District 9 homes, District 10 homes, River Valley, Orchard Road. And you know, each time, and one of the things about doing a job like that is that you always get to bring clients to see nice houses. You know, you go and see like a house that's worth 4 million, 5 million, and it's like, oh, it's really nice, right? The space is big, it's a good location, beautiful view outside. And as a young 21-year-old back then, doing brokerage business in this, there's a part of me that desired for a lot of these things. And I saw how my clients were able to afford that. You know, they could come in, they could buy, they see one day and then they give the check in the evening. And I'm like, wow, okay. And you know, a part of me in my heart desired for that. You know, I wanted to be able to afford something like that. You know, wow, I can just come in here like a boss, buy one unit and then walk off. And 9 years later, fast forward to today, now that I'm a believer, now that I'm a Christian, now that I'm serving the full-time ministry, contentment was something that I learned along the way. Do I desire for all of that? No, not anymore. District 9 homes, District 10 homes, these are all things of the past. Where do I stay now? I stay in Sengkang. And you know what? What's an amazing thing was that I learned to be contented and I learned to be happy with it. Being where I am right now, where I am staying in Sengkang, you know, actually, I was very happy with that. 9 years ago, if you asked me about it, maybe it would be a different... But today, you know what? Coming to a place like here, you know, I just learned to recognize how God had really blessed and how God had really provided. You know, I really enjoy my place. You know, I'm actually very close neighbors with John. We go back together sometimes. I'm near Pastor Mitch. And you know, Sengkang is a wonderful place. You have, there's like a coffee shop next to me that I can go to get food easily. I can walk to the MRT. You know, every morning, I have a straight bus to church. You know, I take bus 80 and it takes me about 25, 30 minutes. Actually, we take bus from the same bus stop. And, you know, we just take bus every morning. And, you know, it's just such a joy. You know, use the morning to just reflect on the Lord, to read His Word, to read a book. And just enjoying the simple pleasures in life like that. You know, there's a park opposite my place that, you know, I could bring Daniel for walks in the evenings. And we see, you know, some of the older people doing Tai Chi. And you know, these are some of the simple things that I have really come to embrace in my own life. Contentment, learning to just be contented with whatever the Lord gives. And truly, the Lord has given so much as I think about it. Do I need a $4 million home to feel that I'm contented? And the answer is no. And in fact, I think if I've gotten that, I probably won't be contented. I want more. You know, I want a bigger house, I want bigger things. But you know, just to appreciate God as my shepherd, that to be... You know what, I can just learn to be contented with whatever that he gives me is something that I am deeply committed to do. Committed to be contented, committed to not be afraid of any of the challenges that come in life. You know, whatever uncertainty, whatever dangers that may come, you know, health challenges, go through major operations. You can just learn to simply commit this to the Lord, to say, Lord, I do not need to be afraid. And that's one part of how we can respond. And the second part of response that we can give when God is our shepherd is this word that I'll use called confidence. So first is commitment, and the second word I'll use is called confidence. And confidence is seen in the last verse, actually. You know, in the last verse where it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of God forever. Confidence in knowing that whatever that we go through in life, no matter how long this journey of life can be, two things that will always follow us. One, goodness. Two, his mercy. And these are the two things that will be with us all the days of our life. In this present life on earth, this is the promise that God has given us that we can be tremendously confident in. And the second part of the confidence is in the life after this present world. Beyond this life, after we leave this world, what is the confidence that we can find? And it's right here in the last part. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So when we think of confidence, what is our confidence in? It can be one, first part, the present life, how God will be there with us. But more than just what God can do for us in this present life, it's the hope that lies beyond this, that we can actually be in the house of the Lord, a wonderful, the best place that we can ever find for us. And this was something that stood out for me as well because of my real estate background. And so I spoke about how I desire for all these houses. And it came a point when I came to believe in the Lord at 22 years old. And then that's where my life began to change. That's where I began to see things differently. And one of the things that I learned in my early years was how there was a wonderful hope of heaven that all of us can look forward to in life. That no matter who you are, what station of life you're in, no matter what time of the journey of faith you came to believe in the Lord, it doesn't matter. All of us have the privilege and the honor and the benefit and the blessing of having a tremendous sense of hope in heaven. And the heaven that we go to is the same for all of us. It will be glorious, far exceeding anything that we can experience in this world. And so this was a thought that stood out for me in when I came to believe in the Lord. And I continued to be a real estate agent, so I continued to serve my clients. And there was a particular condo that I really enjoyed going to. It's at River Valley, and it's like one of the tallest condos there. It's like the only tall condo among all the short condos. And so the view in the condo is really spectacular. You know, like from the balcony, you see the whole CBD, you know, the Singapore buildings, you see the flyer, you see the Marina Bay Sands and the banana on top. And you see the lights, and at night when the lights come up, it's like, wow, it's really beautiful. And every time I go to that condo, I always make it a point to go to the rooftop. It's like 43 stories high. And I'll go up there to take a look at the view and to appreciate it and say that, oh, wow, you know, if I can just buy a place here and have this view every day, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful to just look at something like that? But when I came to believe in the Lord and I learned about this hope in heaven, you know, one day I had to go to that condo again to service my client's unit. And so I did my usual ritual. I went up to the rooftop and I stood there and I watched the skyline. I looked at the city, the view that it provided. And as I admired the view, the thought that came to me was this, that if this to you is something that is so wonderful, what more it would be when you actually go to heaven? How much more glorious, how much more exceedingly wonderful it would actually be. To you, this is amazing, but I have promised you that I'm giving you something far greater, far better than anything that the world has ever created. And actually that evening, that moment, as I saw the sunset and as I looked at that, and as I thought about this promise that the Lord gives to us in heaven, that part of me desiring for that just died away. You know, it was just something that I couldn't explain. After that, no longer. Actually, after that, I don't know what happened. I stopped going up to the rooftop, and eventually I gave up my real estate trade. And that part of me just stopped desiring for that, simply because I found something to be so much more confident in. A hope in heaven. Something far greater, more excellent than anything that we can ever find in this world. And that's the hope that all of us can find. You know, I really, you know, as a young person, even though I've quite a number of years ahead of me, God willing, you know, I really appreciate this promise of a hope in heaven, because that's one of the greatest things that God has given to us. You know, God has blessed us with a place to go to, His own house. And inside this house is not just a temporary dwelling, it's a place that we can be forever. You know, there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more things that are unpleasant in this world. It will not follow us into this life. And at my age now, at 30, I actually have a back problem, which I've been nursing since I was in army. And you know, just the thought of being in heaven was so wonderful, because you know, every morning I wake up and my back hurts. Actually, more so now because I have Daniel. You know, he's 9.4 kg, and when I carry him, it's quite heavy. And you know, in the nights when he keeps me up, I don't get enough sleep. My back will act up, and you know, the pain will come, and I'll be reminded that this is going to be with me again. You know, for as long as if I were to do an op to change my disc. But you know, just remembering that in the house of the Lord, when I go there to dwell, none of these things will last anymore. You know, I'm not going to face the pain that I wake up to every morning. I'm not going to face it. You know, it will all be just a distant memory, all in the past. What I'll get in this new place, in the house of the Lord, it's a new body, a new place to dwell in, new body. You know, everything all made new again, wonderfully changed. And for me, I thought this was just such an amazing thing to hope for, to look forward to in our life. And so for us, as we think of what does it mean to respond to God, you know, how can we respond to God? Well, as we look at Psalm 23, two words that come up. One, commitment. Committed to not be afraid, to just be contented with whatever that we have. And complementing that commitment is our confidence, that we don't need anything else in life because we just have God as our shepherd. That no matter what happens in life, goodness and mercy always follow each and every one of us. And after we leave this world and we go to that future hope that we have, you know, it's this tremendous confidence that God has prepared a wonderful place for all of us to be in, far greater than anything that we can imagine. And this is something which I deeply appreciate, even more so now that I'm an older Christian, you know, just appreciating this hope that we can all have looking at the heavenly home. And so thank you. We will come to an end. And thank you for listening to our sharing. And we hope that, you know, as we reflect on Psalm 23, go through the lessons that Pastor has taught us, you know, the sense of having God as our shepherd will just be something that will encourage our hearts, bring a sense of uplift. You know, we can go in the strength of His, just to know that He'll be there with us all the days of our life. Right, and we'll close, and then after that, we can go down for tea. The ladies have wonderfully prepared some tea. Last time, Uncle Terence said that it was 1 star, so we hope to up it to 3 stars. And we hope that you enjoy tea and really appreciate it. Well, we appreciate this time of fellowship that we can have. Now, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for how you can be the shepherd for us in life. How you are that wonderful shepherd who can be so personal to us. How you can lead us through all the things that we go through in life, knowing that goodness and mercy shall follow us. Lord, teach us to draw close to you, to respond well, being committed to you, and to have the tremendous confidence in your promises for us. We pray that you bless the food we're about to have and the time of fellowship that we can have together as an AM people. Lord, be in our midst, and we commit this and commit pastor to your hands as well. Will you watch over him? In your son's most precious name, amen. Right, thank you. We have the offering collection.